you watch a TFC game right now and their opponents look so far behind the quality that TFC has. Even big time games against New York, they beat them 4-0 at BMO Field. Portland 4-1 at BMO Field. This early in the week, Philadelphia 3-0 was the final scoreline. It's TFC is really putting on a show, and it's really seemingly starting to get some more attention finally.
Yeah, I was at the game the other night when they're playing Philadelphia, and it was it was a fun game to watch because they just dominated the game. But you just realized how talented this team is, and I don't know that people across the city are really paying attention to what's happening over at the stadium, because it's quite an incredible situation.
I think part of this too is people perhaps don't realize how much things have improved and how credible MLS has become, right? Mm-hmm. There's still this probably slightly antiquated notion that any North American soccer is, you know, not worthy of your viewership, or, I mean, we all understand that the best leagues exist in Europe, but when you look at the way MLS has risen up, and I mean, Dan and I were part of the great oral history of TFC we did for the 10th anniversary, kicking off last spring. And I have to say, just myself, you know, diving into it with Richard Petty, formerly, one of the heads of MLSE, talking about what the lay of the land was 10, 12 years ago when they first started talking to MLS about getting a franchise. Like, do you know how much more this team is worth now than it was then? Try about 10 times more.
Oh, more than
and
that.
That's a reflection of where the league has gone. Not just that it's been a smashing success.
Yeah.
Support-wise, and obviously up until last year, it was a pretty gruesome narrative for TFC, but the support has always been there. But as we are now all kind of opening our eyes going, wow, this team is really good, it's across the league that, you know, the minimum standard has come so far up.
It definitely has. And speaking to that point of where TFC is, they purchased the club for $10 million. They cut a franchise check for $10 million to MLS. And now it's worth the Forbes evaluations just came out for MLS clubs. And TFC is third on the list. They're at 280.
280.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, because I was going to say, yeah, maybe 150, but that's crazy.
And that is, according to the last Forbes list of NHL sides, it's at least better than five NHL teams.
Wow.
There's always this question, is MLS arrived? And I think, I already think it has, but, you know, we're still waiting for it to have consistently bigger TV ratings. We're still waiting for, I don't know, some kind of big moment. But I feel like last November against Montreal might have been that for TFC. And we've seen the numbers. They are closer to a sellout almost every single game at the newly renovated BMO Field that added seats. And they're close to 29,000 almost weekly now. And the TV numbers are up, even if it's just a little bit from what is already a small number. All those things are happening, and it's just the team is 10 years old. For it to have come this far in 10 years is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it's good for the people who were stuck with it through it all, because it was such a dark time for such a big period. But that's really fascinating that you point that out, that it was a $280 million. Yeah. I'm amazed by that. And then the notion that, you know, has this league arrived. It can only arrive to a certain level just by the nature of soccer in general, because within there, it's always going to be looked as sort of like the little brother. I mean, for a long time to come, and you can't expect it to not be considered. But in terms of gaining respect, I think it's definitely like improved as much as it possibly can. And it's a really interesting sports story.
Yeah, it's wild, and TFC Montreal has been an incredible rivalry to watch. And, you know, looking back to last year and how all that played out with TFC and the Montreal Impact, for me, as a born and bred kind of Toronto guy, that was one of the best sporting events that I had ever been to. Everything about that night, the twists and the turns and the away goals and how they factored into the final scoreline and going to extra time and 60,000 plus at Stade, or not Stade Saputo, at the Big O in Montreal for the first leg. Everything about it was crazy, and they followed that up with a pretty darn dramatic Canadian championship final earlier this summer. Now it's continuing here. The two teams have three matches against each other to close out the year. TFC has these records they're shooting for. Montreal's trying to get into the playoffs. This is, it feels like, and maybe you guys can speak to this better, maybe I'm a little bit too close to it, but it feels like Toronto FC and Montreal have really become more an event than it ever had been in the past.
Oh, I think so. And you need something like that. I mean, to drive interest, just saying Toronto-Montreal sports, you're speaking a language people can relate to, even if they're not necessarily huge into soccer. I mean, that's kind of the basic premise of sports is, Wait, those guys three towns over, let's get them. And I think people can get on, you know, on board with this idea. And like you said, you have this, you know, great precedent last year where they have this crazy playoff. Absolutely, that's something that can drive this forward. And you have a great, I mean, what better narrative can you ask for than when a team is literally trying to be one of the all-timers in its league, right? Each team has something on the line that helps a lot.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, the stakes currently, with given the history of what happened last year, the stakes coming into this final stretch are they're just so interesting. And knowing that, you know, Montreal knowing it can play the spoiler, and Toronto also wanting to play the spoiler for Montreal, it's probably the best rivalry a Toronto sports team has right now. I know people might lose their minds over that idea, but really, if you look at the recent history of it and the tension between the two, absolutely.
Yeah, and maybe it'll carry over to Leafs, Habs, as both of those teams expect to be big time playoff, you know, components this year in the NHL. I do think that this is really feeding into itself right now, and Toronto and Montreal and this TFC Montreal Impact thing is not going away. They play tomorrow at 4:00. MLS Cup is the date is now set for December 9th, and if TFC continue where they are right now and maintain this pace, and I think 538 has them at an above 80% chance to win the Supporter Shield, which is the best record in Major League Soccer's regular season, you would have home field advantage through the playoffs. So should they get back to MLS Cup, it's going to be another rather cold night. As the Farmer's Almanac says, it's going to be a pretty bad winter here in Toronto, for those wondering. When you get to the playoffs, it becomes a crapshoot. So I guess that's going to be the narrative. Doesn't matter what TFC does here towards the end of the season, even though soccer fans are probably more used to a single table thing and the regular season is all that matters because there are no playoffs in other soccer leagues, but TFC still has to play those playoffs and still has to get through them to lift MLS Cup. Is it considered a bust, I guess, if they don't get there?
Yeah, I think absolutely. After how close they came last year, the stakes are high, and part of that is, I mean, if you want to play, if we're going to talk about them as being in the big boy game, then you have to have those expectations for yourself. I think it's a massive disappointment if they don't win the whole thing this year.
I think it's sort of twofold. I mean, I think winning the Supporters' Shield will be a huge accomplishment. I think just in terms of Toronto sports understanding, as you were mentioning, in one level, like that's you've won. But in another level, I was at the game last year. It was just thrilling and it was disappointing and freezing, but yeah. I mean that's the moment that I think the attention at this, like, not that, like, again, the sport is incredible, the fans are incredible, it's all there, but just to get that attention to the next level, in terms of sports coverage, in terms of sport, like, attention, they've got to get through that, and I think that, you know, this is as good a chance as they've ever had, and so it's an exciting story.
Yeah, and it's fun. Patrick Vieira, the coach of New York City, who are TFC's perceived biggest opponent in the Eastern Conference right now, earlier this week he basically conceded the regular season title to Toronto FC, in a sense playing mind games, and all the pressure now is on Toronto FC as they continue on this quest towards MLS Cup. trying to get there by the end of the year. And look, I mean, Montreal is a quality team in their own right. They're trying to get to the playoffs. Vancouver's done a lot. And, you know, the overlying factor is, and it really all comes down to this. If we as Canadians are really going to continue to buy into soccer and we're going to really get over the hump, it's there with the women's game. We love our women. They're so successful. They continue to churn out talent. They continue to compete at the highest level. They're going to try and fight for that number one FIFA spot later this year as they play against the Americans in a home and home in Vancouver out on the West Coast. The men's game is what's going to take it over the top. And if TFC, Montreal, Vancouver, they all feed into the Canadian men's national team, and we see the Canadian men at a World Cup in the not-so-distant future, well, 2022 is what we have to wait for. But if that's to happen, that's where we finally see soccer get over the hump. What do you guys think? Dan?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, I think you're at that to that point. I mean, I think we're at that point where it's sort of like we're just there, we're almost there. It's just a little bit of success away from that.
Yeah, I think you need typically some kind of national rooting interest to really elevate something. And you're right. I mean, obviously, spearheaded by Christine Sinclair, the women have been really in the public consciousness at 2012, no doubt. It's going to take something. I mean, it's always been a case of refining the talent. I mean, we have lots of kids playing. We know that. Don't know if it's a case of, you know, the most talented kids still choose a different sport. But, I mean, you can win that battle. And, I mean, look at Austin Matthews. He grew up in a spot where hockey was not a huge deal, but to him it was.
Right.
He's a kissed by God athlete who chose to play hockey because he liked it the most. So when you get that kid doing the same for soccer in Canada and TFC has an academy or Montreal has an academy or Vancouver has an academy where that kid can get in young and they can really, really refine and hone and develop the way that, you know, that hasn't been possible in the past, then maybe you can get that piece that things are built around. But there's no question that, I mean, ultimately, I'm sure it's still going to be more of a Toronto or Vancouver or Montreal thing when those teams do well. But if you could ever get a, whoa, Canada's at the World Cup, oh my God, they made the round of 16. Yeah. Yes, that would be amazing.
That would be crazy.
Yeah, and that's what we're all hoping for, and the women continue to do that. Will the men get there? They got a friendly at BMO Field next Saturday, actually, against Jamaica, where you'll be able to see the next great hope for the Canadian men's soccer team and Alphonso Davies. That's next Saturday at BMO. I think your ticket would get you into the X as well if you want to head down that way.